full moons, solar flares, retrogrades, can these things really affect our moods? Can they make us feel tired? Can they even mess with our electronics, as some people claim? And if so, how?
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
And I'm very excited because I've got two guests today. My regular monthly guest, Jessica Zavala, and another guest who specializes in astrology and astrological readings, and her name is Sky Sitara. What's the big deal about astrology and the zodiac signs and all like that? People have studied this for years, for thousands and thousands of years. And Sky, I want to address this question to you. What is the big deal about astrology?
Well, astrology is the basic template for a person's purpose on this earth and in this lifetime. It does affect everything in this world because it's based on frequency. And that frequency depends on where the planets are and what planets are activated at that time.
Okay. Are you talking about to do with the birth chart or with the everyday life or all of it?
Well, it's all of it. So the birth chart will affect the person personally, but the energy still can affect everyone as a whole. So when planets are making aspects in the sky, it's affecting everybody on the planet. But then when you have the person's natal chart, then you find out, well, how is it affecting them personally as well?
Okay, so you're saying it's basically energy. As the planets move around, it's affecting energy everywhere, I guess, wouldn't it? So, I mean, just all across the Earth and on all the planets, the whole universe and the galaxy, everything would be moving and changing. And can this cause solar flares or... can solar flares, do solar flares affect us? I mean, you're saying all of this stuff is basically energies that affects us as energetic beings, right?
Exactly, yes. And as far as the solar flares, they do affect us. It's just a burst of energy, and that burst of energy hits the planet, and then it starts affecting us. Now, depending where we're at within our evolution, it's going to affect us either positively or negatively. But in the end, it's there for our growth. It's there to open up the energy and allow something new to come in.
Okay, so you say the astrological signs and the whole deal with astrology, it has to do with our purpose on Earth?
Yes. So when I do readings, the three main energies that I look at are the North Node, South Node, and Black Moon Lilith. Now, Black Moon Lilith is the primary fear. Everybody has one. It actually has two. She's in a sign and in a house, and that will show where the fear is going to be felt throughout this whole lifetime. Now, the South Node is the energy we come into in this life. Could be behaviors, attitudes, ways of thinking, belief system. That's what comes natural. It's natural, but it's also the energy that gets stagnant. Sometimes people say, like, I feel like there's something more. Well, it's probably because they're connected to that South Node energy. Now, on the opposite side of that, we have the North Node. And that's the one, that's the energy that people really want to connect to, because it's where their soul grows, and it's where they can encounter that inner freedom and the joy in life, where they feel complete. So essentially, when I'm looking at the chart, I look at the Black Moon Lilith, and then I look at the South Node, North Node, and then I see, as I'm speaking to the person or just by looking at their chart or just feeling them, I can tell if their Black Moon Lilith is connected more with their South Node or with their North Node. Now, if a person's Black Moon Lilith is connected to their South Node, they're going to have dysfunction in their life. It's not going to be flowing, and they're always going to feel like they're hitting roadblocks. Why? Because that's not the path they're supposed to be going down. Now, if their Black Moon Lilith, their fear, is connected to the North Node, that means they're opening up to that fear. They're recognizing what it is, and they're now aiming towards the direction of what their soul came here to do.
Okay, so
it's basically the person's destiny.
Okay, so let's back up and look at even before, say, we came down. So you're saying that, like, some people say that we as souls, there's a lot of people, quite a few people believe in reincarnation. They say that we reincarnate at various times throughout our the lifetime of a soul, or however you want to put it, and we come down here to have experiences. And of course, there's the karma thing. Sometimes we always usually go through some type of karma. And so you're saying, as souls, that we decided that, you know, say before I came down here, I decided, okay, I'm going to reincarnate back down to Earth, and I'm going to have, I want to experience XYZ. And I want to go through several things in life just for the experience of it. And again, maybe some of this stuff I need to go through is a karma thing. So you're saying that, so did I, and they say we choose our parents, and maybe we choose when to come down here. Maybe we don't, I don't know. But I think, according to some people, we do. But so you're saying that we kindly choose the life that we want to live, basically, by choosing to be born at a certain time so that the stars will be aligned a certain way so that it'll help us help perpetuate the life we want to live? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so the South Node would be that past life. It would tell what the person did, what they didn't do, and then the talents that they're bringing into this life. And now in this life, on the opposite side, the North Node would tell where the growth would be in this life. And there's so many ways to tell in the chart what didn't work in the last life. Now, even if someone didn't believe in past lives, the energy would say what there is, what the growth is in this life yet.
Okay, so
depending how you want to look at it.
Yeah, so whether you believe in reincarnation or not, the life that we're living, our soul has decided it wants to experience and to learn and grow. So basically, the reason we're all here is to learn and grow. And so we have experiences, and sometimes, well, usually if we're learning and growing, they're usually bad experiences, but it's because our soul wants to learn and grow is why a lot of times the bad happens. And I know I'm oversimplifying things, and I don't mean to put anything in a box, but generally speaking, and again, there's karma too that we have to work off too. So, I mean, you know, nothing is ever very simple, it seems. But so basically, we're choosing to come, our soul is choosing to come down here to have certain life experiences so that we can learn things and grow. And if we grow, what are we growing toward? Just a certain level of maturity to go to the next dimension, or what are we? Why do we want to come down here and grow?
You know, even that's different. There's no one answer for that. Why we want to grow? It's different for everybody. Some people just want to come here to learn to feel more. Some want to actually like have to step up and be in front of people and express themselves. It's just to go on to another world. It could be, you know. That sounds crazy, but actually in my chart, it does say this is my last time reincarnating here. And then I go on to a higher level.
Okay. Oh, so you can read that in chart. And I didn't realize that, because they say that we're going to go to that. This is the third, well, I won't get into it too much, but the third 25,000 year cycle. And a certain number of people on Earth will go to fourth dimension, and a lot of the rest of them won't. But this will be the last time that this Earth houses three-dimension life. But I guess that's another show. But so that's really interesting. So I did not know that. You could tell all kinds of things from this chart.
I can tell everything. Wow. It's the past, present, the future. I know when the events will take place. I know. But the thing is, it's like it is predestined what we're here to learn. But then how the person learns or if they're open to learn is up to them.
Right. Because of the free will. The free will.
Exactly. It's still free will. You still have to make a choice. But yeah, so I always call it the highest vibration or the lowest vibration. The lowest vibration will bring that dysfunction or the discomfort. That highest vibration, it just flows. And it's like it's coming together and it's like, yes, this is what I'm, it just feels good.
Yeah. Okay. So
if we come down to earth, and of course we have free will, we always have free will, but if we're going through, of course they say when we come down to earth, we forget about the people that believe in reincarnation. They say we forget about what we've decided as a soul before we come down here. So as we come down here and we start going through difficult times, then either we can go with the flow and go wherever that path is leading us and learn our lessons, or we can buck the system and refuse to learn our lessons and then have to, and sometimes we may have to keep repeating the same mistakes or keep running into problems so that we can eventually learn our lessons if that's what our higher self wants to do. But there's always free will at play. So I guess what you're saying also is either we can learn our lessons and move on and grow, or we cannot and stay stagnant and keep having to go through difficult times and have to keep learning these lessons over and over. Is that also what you're saying? And do the charts seem to indicate that?
Yes, exactly. And depending on what planets are at play will depend on how difficult the situation will be and what the energies will be. So,
Okay. So this is very interesting. So what happens, let's take an example. What happens to people when there's a full moon? Let's just take that as an example, because now I used to work in a hospital, and for a while there I worked a 12 to 8 shift. And when the night person came in, sometimes she would say, oh boy, it's going to be a busy night tonight, because she saw a full moon, on her way to work. And she says, she kept up with it. She says, every time there's a full moon, I am busy all night. And when there's not a full moon, a lot of times she wasn't that busy. So there's got, and we've heard this, from different places. I've heard it from other, like there's more babies born on a full moon. And maybe you're in a bad mood on a full moon. What is the deal with this full moon?
I actually get a lot of clients hitting me up for readings on full moons too. So
wow,
it does
happen.
Yeah.
Are they usually good readings or bad or just a mixture?
A mixture, but it's a lot of chaos going on. The full moon brings a lot of intense energy and emotions to the forefront, to where we like to sort of, hide them away and tuck them away to deal with our emotions another day, because it's just sometimes easier to, not reflect on what's going on. It's just kind of like, it's like a safety net to kind of not feel bad, So when the full moon comes around, I notice I get a lot of clients scheduling, readings, and I actually will see even a lot of car accidents happening just when I'm driving, just like a lot of intense, chaotic energy. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so Sky, what's going on here? Is it just more intense energies of affecting other people's energy field?
Well, the moon itself in astrology represents emotions, and it's a fluid energy. So when the moon is full, it has intense impact on the flow of, say, even the waters. Like the ocean, there's a high tide during a full moon. But we as humans are predominantly made of fluid. So that moon is affecting all that fluid within us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, when that moon is full, it just makes the emotions more intense. It starts pulling on people more.
I didn't think about that, but that is a very interesting point.
Yeah. So, and then depending on the person's chart, where the full moon lands, that's the area that will be highlighted during that time. So if a person has the full moon in their first house, then their identity at that time is going to be, you know, an issue. So probably Jessica would get readings of people who are like, gosh, these people are talking really bad about me and I don't understand why. And then she has to give the reading and then she explains why.
Yeah.
You know,
emotions run really high with the full moon because it's not as easy like every day to day life to sort of tuck, like I was saying, tuck the emotions away of, oh, I don't want to think about it, or I don't want to think about that person who hurt me, or I can deal with it. Let's just not think about it. The full moon brings it like right in your face. Like it puts like the mirror right in front of you where you can no longer sort of tuck the emotions away. Like it's all out there in front of you to deal with. And that's what sort of drives, I feel, people crazy, because that defense mechanism isn't there as good as it usually is when, you know, on other days when the full isn't so the moon isn't so full, because the issues, they can just kind of brush them off, you know. But when the full moon is high, oh my God, that's, you know, my clients will definitely be calling me, booking sessions more than usual. People feel really insecure. It just heightens the emotions. It's just very intense.
Yeah. Well, is it always bad emotions? I mean, does the moon ever bring any good emotions?
No. Well, typically the full moon can bring endings as well, or like the accumulation of all the work done in the last 6 months, and it will bring it to fruition. So there is good. It's just understanding where the energy is and what the person's dealing with. So typically you'll have the new moon, and then 6 months later, the new moon is in Cancer. So then 6 months later, you have the full moon in Cancer. So it'll be the ending of something or the fruition of something.
Okay. So does that happen with every full moon? Always an ending and a beginning?
There's always some form of an ending. Yeah, it's a cycle.
Cycle. Got it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I find it so interesting, though, too, how like your birth chart can be completely different as opposed to if you were born in California or if you were born in like China or Japan or France or Egypt or somewhere else, a different location. It's just,
yeah,
that always trips me out.
That is wild how that happens. And why is that? Is it, again, just basically the energies are different in different locations?
The planets are sort of aligned differently in different geographic locations, or no?
Yeah, so they're at different times. So if the full moon is at, say, the full moon's supposed to be at 10 degrees Cancer on a specific day. So it can be at 10 degrees Cancer on the other side of the world in, say, France, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be at that exact time. Our full moon will be, I don't know if it would be like, what, 10 hours behind. So the location affects the timing of it.
Even you, Beverly, since you're 2 hours ahead of us, you know, because we're both in California, Sky and I, and you're, you know, in Florida, that's a 2 hour difference. So that even alone, that little small, you know, time difference would make an actual big difference. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And it does. Just, and there is
that the energies are different. They're just pulling on us in different ways, I guess.
Well, it's based on the time and the location. So since you're 2 hours ahead, the degree of the moon, since it moves so fast, would be affecting you before it would be hitting us.
Okay. So in other words, I would be in a bad mood quicker than y'all would be.
Right.
Full moon. Okay.
Exactly,
so full
definitely.
Moon. Okay. So when there's a full moon coming and I'm in a bad mood, I'll call you. I need to call you and say, okay, it's a bad one coming. It's going to hit you in a couple of hours. Okay. I got it.
Yeah. And then Sky and I will brace ourselves. We'll brace ourselves for the bad mood rising. And it's a song. It's a CCR song it's called Bad Moon Rising. And that's probably, you know, about sort of into astrology stuff, because I mean, they're like hippies, you know, into like, you know, freedom and astrology. So that bad moon rising is probably because the whole full moon concept, you know, of, you know, negative energies are just, it's not even negative. It's just intense energies. And people are usually overwhelmed. I think that's what it is. That's what I'm hearing spirit saying to me right now. It's people are like really overwhelmed by the energy of the moon itself when it's okay. full. So that it's sort of, you know, when you're overwhelmed, you get stressed naturally. So
yeah, that makes
sense.
I think
it has a lot to do with that energy.
Yeah.
You know?
So when we're having a full moon, is that nature's way or the universe's way of saying you need to look at your issues and start dealing with them, or what is that really saying? And if we started dealing with some things that are uncomfortable, would we make it easier through it? Or, you know, what's the purpose of it?
I'd agree with that. I would agree with that concept of, because, you know, people day-to-day life, they kind of want to just stay in somewhat sanity. You know what I mean? Like, get through the day, get to work, get home, feed the kids, or do whatever you got to do. And just get through that day without going crazy or losing it. And because it's very, you know, life gets stressful. So I feel that there's those moments where, you know, you can't keep pushing things under the rug. The universe is going to throw at you times of reflection for you to acknowledge things, good or bad. Decisions you need to make about leaving that woman or leaving that relationship or leaving that job maybe even, or, you know, trying to become a person that you would be more, I don't know, proud of even, like self-improvement, you know. So I would honestly agree with that concept that you're throwing out there, Beverly, about it's the universe's way of sort of, you know, allowing people to either continue to be the way they are or sort of times for reflection to progress in life. I mean, that makes kind of sense. That's what I figure. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's not good to just, I mean, we all do it. We all push feelings and issues under the rug and say, well, we'll deal with it another day. But it's really over the long haul. It's really not healthy to do that, you know, really.
No, you get stagnant. You get stagnant. You don't progress. It's just like swimming in your own sort of, you know, cesspool, you know, your own, if you're not happy with your life, you know, you're going to continue to do the same thing, or you're going to kind of tweak it a little bit to sort of, you know, make small changes to get to where you feel that you can find complete, you know, more happiness in your life, to feel more proud about who you are, what you're doing in life, you know?
Yeah. And if we don't learn these lessons that we came here to learn, then we'll keep having to go through problems and issues till we learn them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it always pays to
definitely have a way of doing that.
Yeah.
Then we get right back till you learn and move on to that next phase in your life. That next, I like to call it the next season of your life, you know, because there's the spring, winter, spring, summer, and fall. You know, there's different stages in one's life. I mean, I'm nothing like I was when I was a teenager. Oh my God. And thank God for that. Oh, but I mean, I'm a lot better. I'm, you know, established. And I think we all go through different seasons, you know, and what worked then doesn't work now. So
yeah. And I'm nothing now like I was 5 years ago, even
three years ago.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But, you know, I'm in a much happier, better place right now, too, you know, so.
Well, for sure. I mean, Guy, didn't she predict your divorce, right? I mean, you're able to predict divorces, marriages, and births and stuff like that, right, Guy?
Yeah, I was going to get into that, too, here in just a little bit. But, yeah, and it's amazing what, you know, because, like I said, I've had some astrological readings from Sky, and Sky, you told me something, and I didn't tell you hardly anything, just the basics. And what birth date, time, and place. And you started telling all these things, and I just start like laughing because I'm like, man, she's nailing it. You know, things that happen. And you didn't, when we first, you know, started talking, you didn't know me from Adam's house cat, you know? And I on purpose didn't tell you hardly anything because I wanted to see what you were going to say. And I mean, like, you nailed it. And I'm like, wow. And so, and this stuff just happens so much. in this, what I call the woo-woo world. And it's so fascinating. And, you know, it's just amazing.
A good astrologer can tell you so much. I mean, Sky is really good. I've had several moments with Sky where I'm like, yep, that's exactly right. And after about, you know, different relationships or opportunities. And it's so funny because even remember, Sky, about how I, you know, suggested that we have you on the show, and you were laughing because you said in your birth chart or your, what you had seen too was you saw, I think, mine crossing over with yours, meaning you saw me hitting you up soon and that we were supposed to be together, right?
Yeah, so I had finally done my half yearly chart because there's like a many charts that you can look at. There is a lunar return chart, and that will tell you what your emotions are going to be for that month. But I looked at my half yearly, and that's the half year point for my birthday. And that chart lined up with your natal chart. And then I also knew in my lunar return chart, I had a YOD, which is a special configuration. And at the apex, at the special point of it, was Mercury. So I was, and that says for this month that I was going to be communicating a message. And I looked at them right in a row, and I saw intuitively, I saw Jessica, and I was like, wait a minute, my chart lines up. It's going to be connected to her. And then you called me or texted me like the next day. And I was like, oh my
next
God.
Day. Yeah. I know. And when I text you, I think you even said, I was just thinking about you. And I was like, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
It's wild. Those little moments, it's just, you cannot look at that, you know, point and then just say, oh, that was just a coincidence. It's just ridiculous. You cannot, you know, just sum it up as a coincidence.
No, you can't. It's happened. Happened way too much to me. Just me. It's happened way too much. Well,
The more spiritual you get, all those kinds of cool things happen, the synchronicities, the aligning numbers. And it's basically spirit just saying you're on track, keep coming. Like you're at one with the universe, basically. And that's when the magic sort of happens. You know, a lot of big changes happen in your life, and you just feel more connected with yourself, your spiritual self, and you start seeing all kinds of things align for you in life.
Yeah, and you know,
it sort of falls into place.
Yeah, and I'm moving more and more toward that. I must be getting more spiritual or something, because this happened the other day, and Jess, I texted you and told you this is what happened, because I was blown away. I was coming in from a trip, and I was thinking about somebody, and then right after I was thinking about him, he called, and then I was thinking about somebody else a few hours later, and then she texts, this other lady texts, and then I'm like, I mean, right when I'm thinking about it, they text, I'm like, oh, wow. And then the thing about it, too, this person texts me at 333, and then an hour later, she texts me again at 444, and I was thinking about this person when she texts me at 444, and I'm like, okay, this is blowing me away, and this happened in just a few hours from each other, all these things, and I'm like, wow. Okay, well, let me take a quick break. This is a good place to take a quick break and remind everybody that this is Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the vision of the voices, AmericaOutloud.com.
Today with my regular monthly guest, Jessica Zavala, and another guest, Sky Sitara, who's an astrologer, and we've been talking about astrology and how it affects our lives. And you know, Sky, when you do astrology readings, and you were saying some just before the break here, you often use these terms that are not well known among the population. So I want you to go over just briefly go over some of these terms And tell us kind of what they mean. For instance, like retrogrades. Now, we've talked about retrogrades before. Me and Jess has on the show. So what exactly is a retrograde? And let's go over some of the other terms just briefly.
Okay. Well, retrogrades happen when a planet actually stands still in the sky. But in the chart, it looks like it's reversing. And when it's reversing or in retrograde mode, it means that planet's energy is not being fulfilled out in this material, in this physical world. It's a time to go within and to make adjustments based on the planet's energy.
Okay. Within our own lives.
That's so crazy.
Right. Within our lives.
Yeah. Don't retrogrades kind of have a bad rep for like making people go a little talking cuckoo a little bit?
Yeah, the faster planets like Mercury, Mars, and Venus, they tend to affect people more. The other planets, they're a little further away, and it's not as much of an impact. But Mercury is the one that gets the bad rap because he does throw everything out of the cycle. He starts affecting electronics, and people tend to be a little more wishy-washy and not make commitments or hold the commitment. The other thing is people just are having difficulties communicating, whether it's saying something, mm-hmm. but it's not really how you meant it, or interpreting something somebody said, and it was like, wait, why did they just say that? But it wasn't anything bad from them to begin with. Like, yeah. Having a communication in the mind.
Okay, so in other words, in a retrograde, it might be a good idea just to stay in bed that day or something?
You know,
no,
I used to do that. I used to hide. I was like, I can't handle it.
But so if you start sticking your foot in your mouth, then you have to wonder if there's a retrograde going on.
Right, exactly. But what I learned over time is now I'm not afraid of Mercury retrograde. I just understand where the energy's at. I slow down a lot. Like mm-hmm. I really slow down, and whatever house Mercury's falling in, I just pay attention to that in my life and just realize like, okay, there's going to be some changes or things aren't going to align like they should be right now. So just keep moving through the energy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what about a Chiron? I know when you were looking at my chart and all, you start saying Chiron, I'm like, what? You know, so it's Chiron. What in the world is that?
Chiron is a centaur planet and he's the wounded healer. So wherever he is in the chart, it will show where the person will get wounded and where they can heal. But they heal, and it's a spiritual experience. Now, if it's retrograde, it means that once that person is wounded and they go through that healing and gain that spiritual knowledge, then they teach others or they help others heal with that same type of energy.
Okay. So you said that about mine.
Do a lot of people go through breakups during that time?
Breakups. It could be. It depends on the chart. Where what house, what sign it falls in. So there's Chiron mm-hmm. in the natal chart, and that tells us our energy. But then there's Chiron in the sky, and he's moving. And when he hits planets, yeah, it's pretty intense.
Okay.
These are like really heart wrenching than heartbreaks.
Mm. Okay. So mm-hmm. what about the black moon Lilith?
Lilith. Yeah, she's a fireball. I think in most religions, she's the female that you can't tame, and she's everything outside of the box. Now, for everyone, it's their primal fear. For a girl, it will represent where her strengths are or where she can't be tamed, or this is where she can really step into her womanhood. For a guy, Black Moon Lilith will represent the girl that he should be with, but he fears her.
Is it because guys can't really get in tune as well as women do with their emotions? Like women accept their emotions and men are more freaked out when they feel emotions? Is that sort of
freak out?
The same concept?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they don't want to deal with it. Like the whole concept of guys jumping into another relationship usually right after a breakup, and girls tend to sort of mourn it, grow from it, and then move on and then find someone else. Whereas guys, I'm not chalking all you guys up in a box, but it's the tendency of most males that I know that they sort of just jump ship. You know, like, I don't want to deal with the emotion because emotions, in a sense, I think kind of scared guys. You know, it's too overwhelming.
Right. So guys just are more logical to begin with. And then mm-hmm. girls are more feelers. And so mm-hmm. feeling, you want to completely feel everything and feel it come to a completion, like that full moon. And the guys are just logical and they go through it and they're like, oh, okay, well, that's done. On to the next thing. mm-hmm. But, you know, in the astrology chart, if a guy's here to feel, that will cause a lot of dysfunction in his life. If he does like do the breakup and go on to the next girl, breakup, go on to the next girl. In his life, his growth would be to learn to actually feel and have to slow down and feel everything.
So when Lilith is in a guy's chart, like it's presenting itself out of nowhere, that's when they sort of are forced, or you're saying kind of forced to feel that those emotions?
Oh, the fear, whatever that fear, the qualities are. Yeah, they're forced mm-hmm. to. And they won't have a functional relationship until they learn to accept that girl that they fear. Yes, that's true.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, well, what about the North Node? You keep talking about North Node.
Yeah, that's what it's like, destiny, a person's life purpose, or where their soul growth is. Now, these attributes will be uncomfortable typically for the person, and they'll be fearful of that action or those new behaviors. But once they finally break through it, then it's like this whole new world opens up. It's like then they're on a new adventure with new scenery. What I've noticed too with guys is they really want to hang on to that South Node. They don't want to go for that growth in this life, even the so-called spiritual guy.
Okay, now what about the South Node? What is
right?
the South Node? What is the South Node?
Yeah. The South Node are those attributes, those behaviors that we come into in this life. And they're comfortable and they're easy. And there's no work to be done because we've already learned it in a past life. So in this life, on the opposite side, that's where the North Node is. That's where the new growth is. That's what a person wants to aim for.
Okay. So I would think that once we go through that North Node and, I mean, go through our growth, that on that other side, we're just a whole new, well, I mean, obviously, we're a whole new person, and I suspect every aspect of life would probably be a whole lot better once we make it through the growth we came here to experience.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it is. It's completely, it is the opposite end of where we came in from.
Yeah, so in other words, even though it's hard and difficult, and we don't want to change, we don't want to grow, we don't want to, once we get through that, then it's like there's a big present on the other end of that bridge once we cross over and make the changes and experience the growth we're supposed to. There's a whole new wonderful life waiting on the other end, which could be a lot of motivation to encourage us to go through these growth pains in order to get to the other side, right?
Yes, exactly. It's complete inner freedom on that other end.
Okay. So that would be, which I guess, you know, to go through a lot of pain, we would need some kind of motivation to do it other than just growth. to know that it's going to be tons better on the other side and once we make it through that growth.
Exactly. And Black Moon Lilith ties in with the North Node, South Node. So when she connects to the South Node, it's just like a lot of dysfunction. But when we're really ready to face our fear, our primal fear, and go towards that North Node, which is all our growth, it's like everything opens up. It's a whole new horizon.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need discomfort in your life to sort of initiate to change. I've always said that to my clients, you know, when a lot of negative stuff is happening, that's when you sort of look for alternative methods. It's only then when true transformation can begin. Because if you're, you know, comfortable with it, it's mundane, it's tolerable, you're going to get sort of, you know, just placed there and just be there. There's no reason to change because it's comfortable. But once, you know, chaos or discomfort comes, only then is when we look at the situation and either, you know, accept it or change it. And a lot of times that's when change happens and a lot of chaos and discomfort comes, because you don't want to deal with that negative energy.
Right, because you know, we have to be, motivated to change. Yeah,
exactly.
And,
mm-hmm.
And usually in the chart, that's when some planets will line up. When I was married in Wisconsin a long time ago, I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, gosh, is this way the rest of my life is going to be? But there was something in me telling me, no, there's more. Well, Pluto lined up with my north node, and Pluto is divorce, traumatic experiences, and transformation. A traumatic experience did happen, and I did end up getting divorced, and then I ended up moving to California. So it was like Pluto needed to kind of ignite that energy, just exactly as you were saying, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and tell us, let's go over one more term, and then I want to go a little further. What are houses? You talk about it's in the 12th house, the first house, or this planet's in the 5th house. What are these houses?
Okay, well, there's 12 zodiac signs, and then for every zodiac sign, there's a house, and they line up. And then there's a planet luminary that lines up with that house and that sign. For example, Aries is the first house and it's ruled by Mars. And then the second sign in the zodiac is Taurus, and that's the second house and it's ruled by Venus. So they all have that, they have that same, each zodiac sign, house, and planet have the same energy, but going down the line, they're all different types of energy.
Okay, so like but what is the house?
Taurus.
What is the house?
The house is the home of the sign and the planet.
Okay, so it's figuratively
where they reside.
How? Okay, so it's where they reside. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that makes sense there. Okay, so what can you tell? Now we've talked a little bit about some things, and when you did my chart. And I told you the first reading, it was just birthday, time, and place. You told me it was that summer before, last summer, you said it was going to go through some, there was going to be a death, which could be a death of a person or a divorce or something. And I just started laughing to myself, you know, because I was headed that way, ended up going through a divorce. It was a little bit later in the year. But, and you just started telling other things, and I'm like, wow, how'd you know that? So what are some of the other things? Just what are some of the things that you can tell by looking at a person's astrological chart?
I can tell when they're going to have events that are going to affect their life. I can tell what their emotional state is going to be for a month, and also what the energy is going to be for 1 year, from one birthday to the next birthday. And then if they want to know also like, something to do with communication or relationships or just getting projects started or how the physical body, then there's return charts, and that can tell me what the energy will be within a specific time. So if they want to understand communication or maybe something to do with groups, then I would look at a Mercury return. If they want to understand relationships or finance, then I could look at a Venus return, and then Mars return would be the physical body or initiating something or where their energy is going to be for those 2 years.
Okay. And so,
wow. Is that how people predict horoscopes, sort of, in that sort of sense, that concept of they do it as a whole, as your sign, like the horoscope day-to-day testing, like a generalized weather forecast? Is that how they sort of predict stuff?
The horoscopes do it generally for everybody just based on, it'd be the sun sign, or if you know what your actual ascendant is based on time, you would look at that. But in the individual chart of the person, it's very specific, and I could tell days when things are going to happen. Yeah. Or when something's going to end, something could begin, or even going into the past, I also use my intuition, so I have to listen to what I call my peeps. My peeps will guide me where to go, and that's how I do the chart. So typical astrology is just looking at the chart and giving the aspects, where when I'm doing it, I'm using my medium ability. So there I'm always being guided to know where the high, what would be the best for the client.
And that chart also changes if you move somewhere. If I moved to a different location, things changed and things get better. And in certain locations, things can get worse, I'm sure. So, and again, that has to do with energies, right? It just shifts the energies, how it's affecting that person in each location.
Yeah, so it'd be based on the location, the time, and the date. And so depending on that, it changes the horizon in the chart. And then that will change the housing, where the houses are and where the planets fall within those houses.
Would it change the person's energy in a sense? And then that person's energy would affect other people's energy in a different way, and it would start drawing things and events and people and places, you know, people and things toward them, or repelling it depending on the energies. Is that also a little bit how it works?
Yeah. So it changes the frequency of the person. So say you're staying in Florida, then your growth isn't there anymore. So it's going to create these situations or these people who are going to give you kind of like either grief, or you're just going to feel like a flat line. But if you come out to California, then the chart changes and it starts bringing you new experiences, new people. And this is where your growth would be. And this would be like the exciting place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, and there every year there's a solar return. And that's important, the location where you're at, because it determines where the energy will be for that year. this is funny because I was looking at mine, and if I stay in California, a lot of my energy be in the 12th house. And that's the house that's of secrets and hidden. And so it's not really a place to be if you want to be out talking to people. So I had to start searching around the world where I would get all that energy in the first house. And so it looks like I'm going to Iceland for my birthday.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow.
So does that mean you have to move to Iceland?
No, I just have to be there for my birthday.
Okay, now this is opening up a whole other can of worms. So in other words, we need to be certain places on our birthday sometimes.
Where should I go this year for my birthday?
Oh, I was going to look at your chart, actually, and tell you. I was putting in all my favorite places, and it just never worked. And finally, I was like, you know what? In the last two days, I noticed I had to be in a northern latitude. And so I was like, you know, the last 2 days, my friend was talking about Iceland. I saw on my Instagram that there was this guy in Iceland. Maybe I'll put Iceland in. Sure enough, everything lined up. And I was like, oh.
So are you really going to Iceland on your birthday?
I am. Oh,
really? Okay. Well, yes. You said I needed to be in L.A. For my birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm coming out there. I want to go out there anyway, because
right.
I've got several friends out there.
You know, it's
there.
So funny. It doesn't surprise me that Skye would be in Iceland for her birthday, because I swear, this woman is amazing. She has seen so many places that I can only dream of. She's such a, I told her the other day, she's like an amazing worldly person. She's just constantly traveling, and I think it's amazing. It's so amazing. And so you saying you're going to be in Iceland for your birthday does not shock me.
thank you.
Hard, but like, it doesn't surprise me.
So how long
are you staying? North node isn't I plan on staying probably about 4 days over the weekend. I think my birthday lands on a weekend.
Wow.
But you know, my north node is in Sagittarius, and that means that I am here to connect with the world in this life. And if you think about it, like, I grew up in the country of a small little town of 200 people in Wisconsin. And before you know it, like, I'm traveling the world. But that's what I was supposed to do.
I can't believe it. I'm talking to someone that was actually raised in a town smaller than I was raised in. I feel like I'm somebody now because my town I grew up in, I think, had about, 800 or 900 maybe. And then when I got married at 22 and moved to the next small town, I thought I was really had hit it big because they actually had 3 red lights. To the next town we ended up moving to. Small town I was from, we didn't even have red lights. So talk about the country.
I can't grasp the concept, I swear. When people say they come from a small town like that, I grew up in California my whole life. And, from San Gabriel Valley to Pasadena, that's the furthest I've really ever moved. And there's so many people. I mean, you try and drive on the freeway at 5 p.m., God, it's a parking lot, There's just nobody knows anyone out here. Everybody's just looking at the number. So to think that there's 200 people in one place, that's insane.
Yeah, and you can imagine the culture shock when me and Sky first went to California. I felt like a sardine. I'm like, man, there's a lot of people. I think y'all have more people in the LA area than we do in the whole state of Alabama.
I think we have more people at a concert, at a concert over here than you can.
That probably is not a small town all put together.
In my whole state, there is a sign at one of the cafes in one of the little towns I grew up in. And it said, the good thing about growing up in a small town is if you don't know what you're doing, somebody else does.
No, that's true. At least they think they do. And see, Jessica and I
in a small town. I would die in a small town because I don't like people knowing too much of my business, And
now, you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it in a small town.
I'm a kind of private person. And I don't like gossiping. I don't like any of that stuff. And in a small town, everybody knows everyone's hoo-haws and whatnot, their business.
And get this,
that
Jess.
That wouldn't sit well with me.
And get this, Jess, when the small town I grew up in, we would go to our neighbor and borrow a cup of sugar, and then when we're driving down the road, we would wave at each other in a car going down the road.
I've always said, Beverly, you were the woman. You're a great person. You're definitely the type of person that, you go knocking on someone's door and ask for a cup of sugar. You do that in California, they're going to be like, go buy your own sugar.
I want to ask Skye, how can people contact you if they want an astrological reading?
They can contact me at Skye Setara, SKYSETARA @gmail.com.
Okay. And Jessica, I also want them to tell them your email in case they want a reading from you. You do psychic readings.
Oh, yeah. I've given the email before, but this is a different one. I'm more regular on that one. It's jessacat1025@yahoo. So it's JESSICAT, like Tom, 1025@yahoo.com. And then also, if anyone's ever in Pasadena, that's a city I live in. It's a great city, but there's a store that I'm starting to sort of, pop in here and there for readings and going to start doing workshops at. It's called Indigo Alliance. And it's a really, really great, metaphysical store. And that's on Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. It's 2548 East Colorado Boulevard. It's a really great store. They have workshops and you can get, books, crystals, candles, readings, and, it's great. So, yay.
Okay, and that's the Indigo Alliance store in Pasadena, California. Well, okay.
Indigo Alliance. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you, Jessica and Skye. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast at Talk Radio on the America Out Loud Network.